Good morning, everybody. Morning, everybody online. I'm glad you could join us this morning. I played baseball like a lot of kids from a very young age all the way through middle school, junior high, high school. And over the years, you started in T-ball, and then you kind of graduate to where your coach pitches, and then the other kids are pitching, and then, just go from there. We had different coaches for all these different leagues. And all these different coaches I had over the years had different ways that they approached the game. When I was playing T-ball, really the coach just wanted us to have fun. That was the main goal. As we got a little older, I had a different coach. He really appreciated the game of baseball itself. And he wanted us to appreciate the game and to grow in the game and to learn how to play the game better. And then I had one coach that really just wanted to win. We were just a bunch of kids, didn't matter. We are going to win the championship this year. And all these coaches, they had a different approach to the game, which impacted us as players. We had to adapt to their style of play. And so when we had the coach that just wanted to have fun, well, we made all kinds of errors out on the field because it didn't matter. When it's all said and done, everybody gets a snow cone anyway. That's all we're here for. We got a little older. We got to the guy that just wanted to win all the time. We made far fewer errors on the field because we didn't want to run extra laps at the next practice. We had to adapt to a new style of play because we had a new coach. And that makes sense, right? It makes sense that that's what we ought to do. That's what we're kind of talking about this morning. This is week 3 in a series called Play to Win. And in the world of sports, if you want to win the championship, if you want victory, you have to pursue that goal with intentionality and devotion. You're not just going to kind of haphazardly stumble into a championship. And the same thing's true of the Christian life. There's a finish line that we all want to cross. There's a victory that we all want to taste in words that we all want to hear. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. If we want to win the game, so to speak, it will take intentionality and devotion to pursue the Lord and to walk with him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In a word, play to win. Today we're talking about playing to win and the style of play that we have to adapt because we have a new coach now. We've talked in the last several weeks about being a part of a new team. We were on Team Adam, this team that was suffering from the curse of sin, that was compelled to reject God. But the good news of the gospel is that we are invited to join a winning team, a team that is free from sin, free from its power, that is redeemed through the blood of Jesus. And now that we are on this team, we have a new coach, and that new coach has a new style of play. That's what we read in our passage this morning. If you have your Bible with you, I want to encourage you to open up to the book of Romans chapter 6. If you don't have your Bibles with you, you can follow along on the screen behind, or you can download the FCC Monmouth app to your mobile device. Tap the Sunday button in the bottom right-hand corner. You'll find our sermon notes tool along with our passage pulled up, ready for you to engage with and get the most out of. Now, if you're kind of looking through Romans chapter 6, some of you may be saying to yourself, this seems really familiar. Like, I feel like we just read this last week. And that's because we did. Last week, we looked at this same section of scripture, but we zoomed in really closely to look at the subject of baptism and the conversation that takes place in these passages. Today, we're going to zoom out just a little bit and take a look at kind of a broader application of what these words have to say to us. And if we were to take this message in summary, we've already said it this morning, we could say this: in Christ, we have a new coach with a new style of play. So let's look at chapter 6, verse 1, see how this starts. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer?" So it starts out with this question. Ever since we came to Jesus, we have this free-flowing, unfettered fountain of grace that God gives us because of our faith in Jesus. So if that's the case, is sin still like a big deal? Should we still not try to do it? Should we give it our attention or care about it anymore? Like, why can't we just keep on keeping on as we always have? Is that a way that we can go about this? It's a question about the Christian life, really, and how we play the game, so to speak. And verse 2 is the answer. It's an emphatic no. No, 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 no. Don't do that. Don't continue on in sin. Don't keep on doing it. Don't participate in it any longer because we're dead to sin. Now, one brief reminder. We said this last week. It bears repeating. The word sin in the book of Romans, it can be used a couple different ways. Sometimes it's used to talk about specific things we do, deeds or actions, sinful activities. That's more verse 1. Should we keep on sinning so the grace may increase? Other times, the word's used to talk more about this kind of force or this power, this inescapable corruptive influence that just hangs over all of creation. That's really more verse 2. We have died to sin or to the power of sin. Essentially, this is what's going on. Verse 1 is asking, can we just keep playing the game the same old way we always have? Verse 2 is, no, we have a new coach now. There's a change that's taken place in us. And we read about that change in verse 3. It says, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. When we said yes to this invitation of the gospel to break our contract with Team Adam, to go join Team Jesus, to stop being in Adam, to be in Christ, in union with him, we died to sin. We signed on with a new team, with a new coach, and as we just read in verse 4, that new coach has a new style of play. We read it in the NIV as that we too may live a new life. A little more literally, if we were going to translate it from the Greek, is that we may walk in the newness of life. And it's a subtle distinction, but it's significant. Because to walk is an active verb. It means that there's activity, there's action, there's effort and intentionality put forth on our part to pursue this new life. Nobody sits in their recliner, kicks up their feet, leans back, and says, I am really enjoying this brisk afternoon walk right now. Like, those two pictures don't go together, and we all get that, because to sit is a passive experience. A walk does not wash over you, as if it's some sort of just passive thing that we're experiencing. It's something we are participating in actively. And the point is this, newness of life, this new way of playing the game, this life of godliness and righteousness, it's not something that's just going to wash over us. It's not a passive experience that is just going to miraculously manifest within us. It is an active endeavor in which we actively participate. It is intentionality and devotion, like we said. To walk in the newness of life requires something of us. If we want to play to win, there's something that you and I have to be doing. And so if we're on this new team with this new coach playing the game in a new way, we may start to ask ourselves, why do I struggle so much with sin? Because I read that I'm dead to sin. I read this truth in Scripture that I'm free from its power, that I'm dead, the old me's dead, I'm raised with Christ. Things should be easier, right? Like, I want to walk. I want to actively participate in walking with the Lord, but I feel sometimes like I get tripped up or held back. Has anybody had that experience before? Okay, we only have a few honest people. That's okay. If you're anything like me, you probably have felt that way. Because as much as I believe this reality in Scripture, I also have this very real experience in my life where there isn't a single day where I'm not tempted by sin in some way. And as much as I believe this new reality that I am dead to sin and alive in Christ, there isn't a single day that I could point to with confidence and say, that's the day right there where I was 100% righteous in every way. We wrestle. We struggle. Sometimes we struggle a lot. Sometimes we stumble. Sometimes we still fall into sin and temptation. And it can cause this wrestling, this uncertainty within us. Like, what's happening here? Like, is Scripture wrong when it says I'm dead to the power of sin? Is there something that is uniquely defective within me? Like, did it not take or something? What's the deal? I think there's an athlete that we can look at as an example that kind of illustrates the truth of the situation a little better. Charles Barkley, King Charles. He's a commentator with the NBA right now, but Charles was a dominant force when he played the game. Like, he could own the court. The golf course, however, it's a very different story. Charles Barkley is a bad golfer, and his swing in particular was horrendous. It looked more like a spasm than somebody trying, and that's not an exaggeration, really. You can go watch the videos. There's hitches and false starts. It's kind of like he's winding up to hit it or something. And everybody would look at this golf swing with bewilderment and say, what is he doing? What's going on there? And some people even wondered, is there like a mental block that he has? And so Charles did some work with a professional golf instructor over 2020, because what else were you going to do, right? And he worked on his swing. And when that instructor was interviewed, he said, I don't know why people keep saying he has a mental block. Mentally, Charles is top notch. It was really simple. He just had some flawed fundamentals that he had picked up over the years. That's all we worked on. And those flawed fundamentals were why he was stumbling and being held back. And it's really a very similar situation for you and I. We have this new reality that we live in. We are dead to sin, alive in Christ. We have changed teams. But that doesn't mean that everything instantly changes in our lives. You and I have spent our entire lives learning how to sin. We've gotten pretty good at it. We spent our entire lives teaching our minds to play the game according to that coach and his way of play. That's not the sort of thing that just you flip a light switch and everything's different. We have some flawed fundamentals that we have picked up over the years, flawed ways of thinking, flawed patterns that need identified and corrected if we want to play to win. One of the flawed fundamental areas of our lives is really a matter of mindset. In Christ, we got to learn to think about the game in a new way. When we were on Team Adam, we were slaves to sin. That sounds like an extreme way to put it, you might think, but it really is accurate. And it doesn't mean that we were just horrible, awful people all the time, right? Like, sometimes that's the image that gets conjured up. Really, it was a little different than that. It was more subtle. Sin doesn't often compel us just to be monsters. Really, it will take natural, normal, usually morally, neutral drives and just give it like a little twist so it becomes a little destructive or a little rebellious or a little unrighteous. Just a little tweak is all it takes. It's kind of like carbon dioxide, if you're a chemistry nut. CO2, very benign chemical compound. We expel it from our bodies all the time. You have some CO2 in your body. If you take extra CO2 in through like a soda or something, you might get a little burpy or get a bellyache, but it's not going to hurt you. But if you get just a little twist, just a little tweak, that chemical compound becomes CO, carbon monoxide. And if that enters your body, you might die. It just takes just a little twist, right? And the same thing happens with these drives in our lives. You take anger, for instance. Anger is a natural emotion that we feel, and we really can't help feeling angry any more than we can help feeling hungry. And it's just this, it just is. It's what we feel. Maybe we got in a frustrating situation. Maybe we slammed our hand in the car door. Been there. Maybe we witnessed something truly unjust and it made us feel angry inside, that like evil persisted. There are many different reasons why we might feel angry. But sin will take that and just a little twist, a little tweak. So now we're not just angry. Now we're wrathful. Now we're furious. Now we're destructive. Maybe towards ourselves. Maybe others, maybe the delicate social fabric of our lives. It just takes a little twist. Or attraction, you can't help but notice beauty in people. And you can't help feeling attracted at certain times. It's just a natural chemical thing that happens in our body. But sin will take this natural thing that happens and just twist it a little bit. To where you're not just noticing somebody, now you're lusting after somebody. Or you're not just noticing somebody, you're fantasizing about somebody. Or you're not just noticing, you're objectifying somebody, which is to degrade them. And maybe that little twist, maybe it threatens the integrity of our marriage covenant. Or maybe that little tweak, it puts in danger the integrity of our personal purity. And all it took was just a little twist. And we experience this in so many different ways. Maybe confidence becomes arrogance. Or maybe self-preservation becomes self-centeredness. Just a little tweak. Or maybe simply wanting something becomes covetousness. These natural desires, these natural drives in our lives, under the power of sin, become rebellious and destructive things. And we were all powerless against it. We couldn't help to fend them off. And we justified it in so many different ways. That's just how I am. Or, I was born that way, or it runs in my family. Or, yeah, at least I'm not doing what that other person does. Nobody's perfect, right? I'm sure we've all said or thought things like this. We justify sin's stranglehold on our lives, but all of those excuses really boil down to the same simple principle. I can't help doing these things, feeling these things, thinking these things. And you know what? at one point we were right, because we were slaves to the power of sin. But I want you to hear something. It's the powerful truth of what happens when we said yes to Christ and we change teams. Look at chapter 6, verse 5 in Romans. It says, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his." And here's the part I really want us to zero in on. "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin." This is an entirely different paradigm and a different mindset that we are encouraged to adopt and think through. This is the theological reality that we live in when we say yes to Jesus. Our old self was crucified with him, buried with him in the waters of baptism, if you were with us last week, that this old body, this old self ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. What that means is that all those old excuses that once were true and that we once relied upon no longer carry any weight. "That's just how I am." No, that's how you used to be. But the old self was crucified with Christ, that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. "Well, that's just, you know, I was born that way, or it runs in my family." Maybe, but you've been born again into a new family. And the old self, it was crucified with Christ so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Well, nobody's perfect, and you're right. But that's not what this is about. This is about which coach we play for and whether or not we really are liberated from the powers of sin. Because the old self was crucified with Christ, that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. This is a powerful mindset shift that has to take root and take place in our lives if we want to play to win. We've got to stop thinking like we still belong to the losing team, because we don't. We don't belong to that team. We don't play for that coach. We don't play that kind of ball anymore. We have a new team, a new coach, and that new coach has a new style of play. If we want to find success and victory and start playing to win, it starts up here, frame of mind. But this is really only half the transformation. If we can adopt a new mindset, that's wonderful. It's going to go a long way. But the reality is, there's more than just mindset at play here. I can have the right mindset and still be frustrated if there are continuously flawed patterns that I indulge in and persist in. And that's really the second shift that we got to talk about. In Christ, we have to unlearn some fundamentally flawed patterns. We all have them. Patterns, routines, norms, just a normal way that we go about our lives and our days. Oftentimes, we don't stop to assess and really ask, is this beneficial to my life in Christ? Or is this actually holding me back in some way? Every successful professional athlete, they have this same tendency. They pay attention to the different parts of their body and how they're moving. You know, if they're shooting free throws, they're paying attention to their legs, the way their knees bend, the way their arms follow through. They pay attention to all the different parts. Or if they're working on their golf swing, again, pay attention to the footing and the way that the hips twist. If we're talking about a batter, they talk about the stance, the way that their footing is, how far apart their feet are, the bend of their knees, the angle of their elbow, the extension of their arms. They're paying attention to all the different individual parts of their body and how they're moving and functioning. And if there's a flaw in one of these fundamental aspects of the game, and the way their arms move and the way their knees bend, they do the difficult work of breaking that flawed pattern and establishing something that works better, because they want to win. And we're encouraged to do the same thing as our passage continues. Look at verse 12. It says, "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself." And that's not just like a metaphysical thing or a metaphorical thing. Like literally, don't offer any part of your body as an instrument or a tool or a weapon of wickedness. But rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and to offer every part of yourself, again, very literally, every part, to him as an instrument, tool, or weapon of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. In other words, pay attention to the way the different parts of our bodies are moving and what they're doing. How are they functioning? Is it beneficial to my walk with Christ and living this new life, or is it actually a pattern, a routine, or a norm that's holding me back? There's a really simple, sounds like kind of a silly question, but a really powerful question that we can learn to ask ourselves to help us in this regard. Who is my insert body part going to serve today? Who will my insert body part move today? Let's take that graphic off the screen. We're not ready for that. We got a whole lot more to say. That's the question we need to learn to ask ourselves. And to answer that really can give us a state of mind that's going to help us pursue this righteousness and break these patterns in our lives. You just start with my eyes. Who will my eyes serve today? Who are they going to serve? Are they going to serve Christ, or are they going to serve sin, Adam, darkness? It's really a matter of where my eyes look and what they linger on. Will I allow them to look upon pleasing things, holy things, good things, righteous things, or will I allow my eyes to linger on things that lead me astray, things that deceive me, things that tear me away? Will I allow my eyes to linger on a coworker and begin to lust? Will I allow my eyes to spend too much time window shopping on Amazon so that I begin to covet? There's these really simple everyday routines that we all probably have and practice with our eyes. And sometimes those routines might be beneficial. Sometimes they might be stumbling blocks. Who will my eyes serve today? Identify the patterns, break them, and play to win. Or we could go to our ears. Who will my ears serve today? What will I allow them to hear? Will I subject them to anger? Will I subject them to deceit? Will I subject them to rumors and conspiracy? Or will I subject them to truth? Something that will shape my heart and my mind for godly purposes. Will I subject them to gossip around the water cooler that leads me to a judgmental attitude towards my coworkers? Will I subject them to a political podcast that doesn't inform me so much as frustrate me and lead me to pursue a bitterness throughout the day? How will I use my ears, and who will they serve? Identify the patterns, break them, and play to win. My mouth, who will my mouth serve today? What words will it speak? Will it speak words of healing, or will it speak words to wound? Will it reveal the truth, or will it cover over in deceit? How will I use my words? Will I advance gossip and slander, or will I stand up and squash it with my words? Who will I serve with this today? Or my hands. Who will my hands serve today? Will they work diligently, or will they sit idle? Will they embrace, or will they strike a blow? Will they be instruments of healing or weapons that destroy? How will I use my hands today? Or my legs. Who will my legs serve today? Will they lead me down a narrow path that leads to righteousness, or will they lead me down a broad path that many find but ultimately ends in destruction? Or maybe a little more literally, will they lead me towards places that build me up, or will they lead me into scenarios filled with stumbling blocks and temptations? I had somebody come to my office years ago. They had a drinking problem. And the pattern was very easy to identify. Every day they'd come home from work on the same route, and they'd pass the same tavern where they would pull off, and they'd drink the stress of the day away. And one drink would become two, and two would become four, and other bad decisions followed shortly thereafter. But they had made a change. They had joined Team Jesus. They had been set free from the power of sin. They had made this decision to embrace the truth of the gospel. And now, every day when they went home on that same route from work and passed that same tavern, there was part of them that didn't want to stop and that didn't want to participate in the old ways, which is evidence that this is true. They were free from the power of sin. They could recognize that's not who I belong to anymore. But they also experienced that tension and that frustration that you and I also feel, where there was still part of them that wanted to go and part of them that wanted to imbibe and part of them that wanted to indulge. And some days they were strong enough to overtake and not give in to the temptation, but other days they weren't. and they pulled into the pattern, the tavern, and repeated the same pattern they had for years and years prior. And they were frustrated, and they were like, why is this happening? What can I do? And I asked a really simple question. I said, is this the only way home from work at the end of the day? They said, no, but it's the most direct way home. I said, well, it also sounds like the most direct way into temptation. So it may take you an extra 5 minutes to get home, but take a new route home from work. And you know what happened, guys? You can't stop and get drunk at a bar that you never pass. There was this pattern in their life that they couldn't see. This routine and this norm of how they just went about every day, where their feet were leading them down a path filled with temptation and stumbling blocks. And it was really a simple matter, once you identify the pattern, to just break it and do something new. And there was freedom to be found. And there was liberation. And this is what we're talking about when we talk about identifying fundamentally flawed patterns in our lives. We all have them. The places we go, the websites we visit, the amount of time we spend scrolling through the feed, what we listen to, what we watch, what we read. There are all kinds of patterns in our lives. Some are benign and are fine, but others, they're not beneficial and they're holding us back from playing the game to win. So here's the challenge for this week. Ask yourself that simple question every day. Who will my insert body part serve this week or this day? Maybe you got to ask yourself that question several times in a day. That's fine. But pay attention to the different parts of your body. If you got to sing the little song, head, shoulders, knees and toes, right? And pay attention to all of it. Asking yourself, who is it going to serve today? And if you find one of those patterns, break it. Because if we can partner that with this mindset that understands the old me was crucified with Christ, that this body of sin should no longer be at work, but that we are free from the slaves of sin or the slavery of sin. If we can partner it with that mindset, guys, do you know what's going to happen? You're going to play the game in a whole new way. You're going to play the game in a way that reflects our new team and our new coach. You're going to start to personally experience what the Bible's talking about when it talks about freedom and liberation and peace and joy. You're going to start to play to win. And that's why we're here, right? So let's all get on the same page. Let's do this, guys. Mindset. Ask the question, who will my blank serve today? And play to win. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wisdom that you give us. It's simple, but sometimes we just get so caught up in the busyness and the routines of life that we miss it or we overlook it. So we thank you for your word that penetrates into our hearts and our minds and fills us with your insights. And I ask that each of us, you would give this wisdom and this discipline to put this into practice, that we might look at our hearts and our minds, we might look at our eyes, our ears, our mouths, our feet, our hands, asking the question, who will we serve? Looking for patterns, breaking them. Because this truth in Scripture, it's everything. The old us died with Christ, died to sin, and we are alive in him. So help us to be alive in you, to live that out, to experience that freedom, and to know the joy and to know the thanksgiving that awaits. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us this week, that you would give us courage to look at our lives and the comfort of these patterns, that we would be faithful in breaking them and seeking out new ways and new patterns that honor you, that Jesus may be lifted high in our lives. And I pray for all these people that they might taste and see that you are good, that you are for them, and that you seek true freedom for their lives. That's why Christ died, to set us free from sin and death and its tyranny. So let us indulge in that to his glory and his praise. Amen. Let's stand and let's sing.